There thinking how that could be a theme song in my own heart and in your life as well. I looked over here and on these first two pews, there's a part of the richest treasure the Lord's ever given sweet Libby and me. Joey and his wife Candace are here this morning with their six children. Six. And they've driven all the way from Florida to be here this morning for this service. And I'm resisting the temptation to use some sermon illustrations because I have a bunch. But I do really believe that sign in Cracker Barrel is right. You know when you go in, you see all these little trinkets in Cracker Barrel? Years ago, there was a sign that said, "Grandchildren are our rewards for not killing our children." And I'm thankful for, we have a daughter and two sons, and Joey is the youngest of our three. And Joey, thank you for bringing your family this morning. Did it again. I'm so proud of him. A sheriff's deputy for 20 how many years? 26 years of the Shelby County Sheriff's Department. Loves the Lord. If you go to their house and right before they eat, they're going to hold hands around the table and they're going to have a time of praying over their food. They're not ashamed of Jesus and love the Lord. And so thank you. And Candace, thank you for bringing your mama with you today. I know everybody thinks she's your sister. But that's all right. Mama, we're so glad. And found out you've got some people in our church that you know, Tim and Becky Boyd. And so y'all have kind of renewed some friendships there. Thank y'all for being in. And of all the sweet children and grandchildren, I could tell you stories, but I'll not do that this morning. And they're thinking, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, let me invite your attention this morning in God's wonderful word to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We had begun a series in the book of Romans a few weeks ago, and that series has been kind of abbreviated or put on hold for a moment. We'll come back to that in the next week or two. But I really wanted to share a message this morning that the Lord, I really believe, has laid on my heart that's relative to Thanksgiving. I love the holidays, and I think all of us do, and it's a wonderful time of family and friends and fellowship. Celebration, and Thanksgiving is one of those very, very special times. All of us have memories. I can go back out to the backyard of our little place where we lived in Lacey Spring, Alabama, and there was a great big stump out there. A large tree had been cut, and there's a stump about 6 or 8 feet high. And Joy, you might remember that stump in the backyard from when you were a boy growing up. My grandfather was a policeman with the Decatur Police Department, and his grandson was also a policeman with the Huntsville, Alabama Police Department. And so what we did was we'd go out in the backyard and they carried their pistols and they taught us how to shoot their pistols. And there's a stump in the backyard of a house in Lacey Springs. It's got 10,000 bullet holes in it. But we remember those days, and I remember the smell of the food cooking when you walked into the house and seeing friends and family you hadn't seen in a long time. So Thanksgiving is special in a lot of ways. And whether your mind goes back to the history lessons where you learned about the pilgrims at Plymouth Rock or whatever your best memories are, this morning I want us to take a biblical perspective for just a few moments to talk about some unchanging things and unchanging aspects to Thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want us to begin, in fact, in your text, I think you'll see verse 18, but with your permission, I'd like to begin in verse 16, and reading as follows in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from the very appearance of evil. Now, tucked away in those wonderful words of biblical advice is verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see, Thanksgiving is not just a holiday we celebrate. It's a principle that we employ in our lives, a principle of a gratitude that says, Lord, we realize that everything we have is a gift from heaven. Amen. Everything we have is a blessing from the Lord, and we are recipients of those great blessings. But I came across something the other day that just, I know I'd seen it before, but I wanted to share it with you this morning. Thanksgiving, if we were to take time this morning and go row by row, seat by seat, and you had the opportunity to name that which you were thankful for, we could spend a long time here today, and it'd be a blessing to be able to do that. But the truth is, we could never enumerate all the things for which we are thankful. But there's something very interesting in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. And he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Now, notice something that he says and something that he doesn't say. He says, in everything, give thanks. He didn't say, for everything, give thanks. Now, think about that for just a moment. Nothing wrong with that, saying that. We're thankful for our family. We're thankful for our friends. We're thankful for our homes. We're thankful for, and the list goes on and on. We're thankful for our church and our sweet fellowship. There's nothing wrong with being thankful for. We ought to be thankful for things. But you see, things can change. Circumstances can change. Things in your family can change. If some of you were to take the time this morning and share your testimony about how you have come through storms in life or things changed that changed your life forever, that includes the list of things that he's talking about here. Pray without ceasing in everything. You see, your bank account can dry up and go away. Your health can fail you. Circumstances can change, but thank God there are some things that are eternally true, and eternally you can count on them, some same things that are biblically a part of our lives that we ought to be thanking the Lord for, and that's really what I want us to talk about for just a moment this morning. 6 unchanging reasons for Thanksgiving. You see, thank God we don't only give thanks for things that we have, even the things that we no longer have, the things that have changed, or the other changes in our lives. But we can thank God for the things that are unchanging. And he wants to admonish us in everything, in your circumstances, in your life, in your story, in your journey. Learn to give thanks not just for things that you have, but in life's circumstances. Because there'll come times it'll be hard to smile. There'll be times it'll be hard to share laughter. There'll be times the pain is unbearable. But you can still know this. We still have a God who says you can still give thanks and stand in and in everything give thanks. Now, I've listed some things. These are not exhaustive by any means, but I wanted to share them with you for a brief moment this morning. First of all, I want to share with you that we ought to share 6 reasons for Thanksgiving would include our perfect Savior, our wonderful Lord, an eternal salvation and a Redeemer that is unlike any other. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You see, Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Melchizedek was the king of Jerusalem, and he was also the high priest. But interestingly enough, the Bible says of Melchizedek, he is a mystery. It says he is without beginning of days, without ending of days. And Melchizedek, we don't really know the background of who he actually was, but he was a type and a typology of the coming king of whom there is no equal. Melchizedek was an abiding sign of the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to tell you something. We can thank God in our circumstances when Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our own lives. You see, there's no storm he can't calm. There's no crisis he can't deal with. There's no situation he can't bring peace to, because he is a greater king than even Melchizedek and a greater priest. What are we saying? As we rejoice in Thanksgiving, thank God for our turkey. Thank God for the dressing. And thank God for everything except the turnip greens. No, thank you very much. I didn't mean to start anything, but go ahead. And but aren't you glad you can say, Lord, thank you that we serve a risen Savior and He's in the world today. And we know that He's living because He leads us all the way. We've got a one who is the rock of ages, and He's the bright and the morning star. He's the lily of the valley. He is the King of kings, and He's the Lord of lords. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, if there's a Pentecostal here, we'd be running the aisles right about now. Blessed beyond measure. This Thanksgiving, as we thank God for the stuff that we have, the wonderful stuff we have, I say, Lord, thank you for being a God that's an incomparable Lord. And there's nothing more wonderful for which we ought to be thankful for this Thanksgiving than a relationship with God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Unchanging things that take place at Thanksgiving for which we give God thanks. And Jesus said, I pray for the Father and He'll give you another comforter. The Holy Spirit is God's abiding presence in the life of the believer. You're never alone. In fact, sometimes just remind yourself, I'm never alone. When I was a little boy, use your imagination, I was sitting in the back of a 1953 Ford car. And if I've told you this story, just act like you've never heard it. And in the back seat, Joey, was your Uncle Buster, my younger brother, 2 years younger. He had the tall jeans. In fact, somebody looked at you a while ago and said, where did he get his tall jeans? Didn't get them from me. But anyway, Uncle Buster and I were in the back seat. And can you imagine? We, my mother and daddy, were in the front seat. We were going down Whitesburg Drive in Huntsville, Alabama. At that time, there was nothing along Whitesburg Drive except cotton fields. Cotton fields. And my brother and I got into a fuss. Now, Stacy, I know that's hard for you to imagine, your pastor getting into a fuss. But that's what brothers are for, to get into a fuss. And I remember the day Joey vividly in my mind out in front of your grandmother's house when you and Jamie were wrestling. And he had always beaten you before. He had always pinned you before. But now you were on the wrestling team at Bartlett High School. Now he was a little older. And I remember the look on his face when you slam dunked him in the front yard. You remember that too, don't you? And I remember that my daddy got a little bit frustrated because Buster, that was his name, and I got into a fuss in the back seat. And my daddy said, son, stop that cutting up. Or he was more emphatic than that. And I said something that it was a slip. I don't know what happened. I'd lost my mind for a moment. I said, just stop this car and let me out. Sarah, do you have any idea what my daddy did? He pulled that 53 Ford over to the side of Whitesburg Drive and opened the door. There she is, son. Help yourself. And all you mothers are thinking, oh, sweet Jesus. No, you didn't put my baby out on the road. Oh, yes, he did. My daddy played football for Auburn. He did all kind of strange things. But this is true. And that 53 Ford drove off. He wasn't bluffing, Henry. He wasn't kidding. He drove off and left me standing on the side of the road. Here I was about 9 or 10, maybe 11 years old. And I thought, sweet Jesus, my parents have gone off. I'll never see them again. What was I thinking? And a little lady drives up in a big black car. And she rolls down her window and she says, son, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I said in the most courageous voice I could muster, I said, my mom and daddy have run off and left me, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not preaching now. I'm telling the truth. This really happened. And she said, honey, come on, get in the car with me. Now, young people, don't get in the car with strangers. This is a different day. This is a different day. And I got in the car. I didn't care if we were going to the jailhouse. I was going to go with her. Just as soon as I got in that car, guess what came back over the hill? A 1953 Ford. It did. You see, Mom and Daddy hadn't left me at all. They just give me a moment to think about my predicament. And I got back in the car, and it was peace in the valley in the back of that car. We didn't have any more conflict. And I want to tell you, We serve, by the way, one of these days, and we least expected the trumpet of God's going to sound. And when our world's in a mess and we don't have any idea how it's going to all get worked out, there's a God who's in charge. He's working all things together for His good and for our glory. And no matter what's going on in your life, you can thank God that in Christ, you say, Lord, thank you that in Christ we have a standing that makes us heirs of the King and joint heirs of Christ. Our perfect salvation, our wonderful Savior, our lovely Lord. And secondly, this morning, I want us just to think for a moment briefly about standing in the undeniable, the precious, the eternal promises of God. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, 1 through 4, there's a reference to the promises of God. We've preached on them many times. We had a series on the promises of God. But the promises of God are God's precious promises for every circumstance in life. You've heard me use this illustration many, many times. We sing that song, standing on the what? Promises of Christ my King through eternal ages. Let His praises ring. What do we have to say thank you for at Thanksgiving? The awareness that the promises of God are forever true. And it doesn't matter who gets elected at the next election. It doesn't matter what happens in the economy. It doesn't matter what happens in our world. We've got a God who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He cannot break His promises, and they are forever true. We stand in and give thanks for and stand in the promises of God. And in everything, we give thanks. God's precious promises. And therefore, to me, the promise of God's provision, the promise of God's power, the promise of God's peace, and so many others that we're going to be looking at in just a moment. But things that are unchanging. It doesn't matter what happens in the economy, we still thank God for His unwavering promises. Number three, we thank God for His perfect provision. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4:19, but my God shall supply what? All of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You ever fretted? I mean, come on. We all have, haven't we? We're worried. We've wrung our hands sometimes. In everything, give thanks. Lord, how can I give thanks? Because your circumstances haven't changed in heaven. And there's a God that if Elijah were to stand here, Elijah would say, I didn't know what I was going to get my next meal, and God led me to a brook, and the brook dried up, and God led a bird to me to feed me meat, and God met every need of my life. And He would say, listen, dear child of God, whatever you're facing, you can stand on the promises of God's promises and God's provision. He'll meet all of our needs, not just some of them, but all of them, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I love this. We stand in the promise of God's matchless power. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. If I'm not planning on taking a walking tour down the streets of Memphis at night anytime soon. I get a little nervous even watching them on TV. The stuff that's out there. But you see, there's no safe zone in a lot of places in our country. Now I can tell you this. If Joey said, Daddy, let me go with you, I believe I could handle it. I could go down the streets of Memphis because I got this big dude next to me that's been around the block a time or two. He was a motorcycle policeman for 9 years. And I loved his shirt. It said something like, even regular policemen are scared of motorcycle officers because they're a little bit different. But I don't want to tell you, I don't have to worry because there's a King who walks beside me. And He's in the unseen hours of the night, and the unseen difficulties of life. We've got a God who never leaves us and never forsakes us and walks with us through the valley. God's perfect provision, God's matchless power. If you raise the dead, made the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the mute to speak, He can walk with you through your troubles, your difficulties, and your crises. God's abiding peace. What do we give thanks for? How do we stand in everything to give thanks? We thank God for His abiding peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give unto you. Peace, peace, wonderful peace that coming down from the Father above If you need peace, you need to give your heart and life totally to the Prince of Peace. You see, one day he stood in the bow of a ship. And the disciples are simply saying, Lord, don't you even care that we're perishing? You ever had that moment that you said in your heart of hearts, Lord, don't you care that I'm going through this in my marriage? Lord, don't you care with my children I'm dealing with this crisis? Lord, don't you care that in life this is where I am? He said, oh, yes, he cares. And he'll walk with you and give you grace to face every trial. He'll get you through if you keep your eyes on him. Keep your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He's God's abiding peace. And thank God during this Thanksgiving season in everything for God's perfect place. There's a place called heaven. The choir sings about it often. Streets of gold, walls of jasper and gates of pearl. A place where we never grow old, and there won't be any more cemeteries, won't be any more funeral homes, won't be any more jails, won't be any more of those types of things. It's hard to imagine the glory of a place called heaven, but Dr. Lee said it was the most wonderful place the heart of God could imagine and the hand of God could create. And you see, there's only one place to go, only one way to go, and that's through Jesus himself. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. So this Thanksgiving season, we've got a lot to thank God for. We've got a lot to thank God. We stand in and on the promises of God and in everything, in trials, in dark days, in heartsick days, in brokenhearted days. Keep your eyes on Jesus. King of Kings and Lord of Lords will walk you through the valley and bring you out on the other side victorious. Victory in Jesus is more than a song. It's a standing for the believer in Christ. Let's bow our hearts together, shall we? Lord, you're an awesome, awesome, amazing God. We love you with all of our hearts. And during this Thanksgiving season, we rejoice in your blessings. We are most wonderfully blessed and realize those blessings are from you. And I pray, Lord, that today some man, woman, boy, or girl that doesn't yet know Jesus will leave their seat and come by their coming that they want to give their heart and life and surrender to the Lordship of Christ. Lord, may we confess our sins, confess that we're sinners, invite Jesus into our hearts. May today be the most wonderful day we've ever known because we allow Jesus to be Lord of our lives. In Jesus' sweet and wonderful name we pray. Amen.